Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Upton's Naturals. Upton's is headquartered in the North Austin neighborhood and is available in grocery stores throughout Chicago. We can just start from the top if you wouldn't mind telling me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Nicole Sopko, and I am the vice president at Upton's Naturals.
Dan Stackman, founder and president of Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals was incorporated in 2005. We released our first retail products available on the shelves in 2006. We are a self-funded business with no outside investor money, and we are currently at the point where we are selling and doing business internationally. We started off making seitan, which is a meat alternative made from wheat protein. We're a vegan company with vegan ethics. Since then, we've also added a line of meat alternatives made from jackfruit, which is a fruit native to Southeast Asia. And we also have added a line of ready-to-eat meals and vegan mac and cheeses. And we also have a restaurant for the past 5 years in Chicago called Upton's Break Room at Grand and Hoyne.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what it means to you to be self-funded and then also just to like be running your own business versus working under someone else's guise?
When I started the company 13 years ago, there definitely wasn't as much interest in vegan. So I couldn't even get a bank to give me a vehicle loan. So I guess it's nice to not have to be able to answer to people. We see a lot of friends of ours that have businesses that take on investor money, and it's just a totally different game. For the most part, it seems those people want to get a piece and then be able to sell the business.
If you've been in business since 2005, cashing out isn't necessarily your immediate plan. What does it mean to you to be rooted in Chicago to have a business here?
We get phone calls every week from different parts of the country. You know, there are economic development organizations offering us packages to move the business to other states.
For us, this is where I'm from, so this is where I want to be. I guess it's as simple as that. We started with a facility in the suburbs, and that was supposed to be temporary. It ended up being several years.
So when you were making that choice to go from the suburbs to the city and looking for a location, can you tell me about what that process was like?
Well, it actually took several years. We had maybe $2,000 a vision to find some building that was pre-existing where we could live above, have office space, have production space, and a retail outlet.
Well, and you know, when you own a small business, sometimes you can only get one loan. I mean, you can't get another house loan and get a loan for the facility for the business. So we were trying to combine everything into one place to keep our lives financially sustainable.
And you're going to be at that place of business nonstop anyway, so.
And were you able to accomplish that?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the building does now exist, but we had to build it.
We first started in a shared kitchen. We were selling to a handful of restaurants in Chicago. And once we kind of proved the concept, then we took the leap to get our own space and develop retail packaging, which is obviously a lot more involved and a lot more expensive. There were not a lot of small food spaces that were already built out. Even looking at restaurant space, it was not cheap or even easy to find.
Shared kitchens seem to be a common thread when I'm talking to small businesses, and I know that they're a relatively new thing for Chicago. What do you think your journey would have been like if there wasn't an infrastructure like that where you could start small and prove your concept?
I don't think we started in what you would call a traditional shared kitchen. Another company had a kitchen, and Upton's was able to use it at night. So it wasn't like the shared kitchen systems that you see now.
Even between now and then, I know that there were many issues with shared kitchen spaces in Chicago, just with licensing and different codes that I don't know that we would have been able to navigate on our own either. So,
I mean, even our first space in Chicago, which was a rented space a couple blocks from where we are now, it was a previously operating food business. And when we had our initial health inspection, they gave us a laundry list of things that we needed to do, including putting in a drop ceiling into the entire space. Even if you rent a space or move into a space that was previously a food business, was previously inspected, should be completely up to code, you're still at the mercy of the individual that walks in the door and what they decide on that day. So there's really no guarantees.
Yeah. So working with small food businesses, we've definitely run into this discretionary thing that happens with food inspectors. I'm glad you brought up licensing. Like, what is your interaction with City Hall then, in addition to having to get a health inspection?
We've had largely positive experiences with the city. There have been a couple of times where, you know, you kind of leave someone's office just scratching your head, like, why is this so difficult?
A couple of years ago, you know, we applied for our sidewalk cafe permit with the city, and they came immediately the day that we were putting the patio up and cited us for not having greenery out yet. But, like, you know, we were physically assembling it at that moment.
I think somebody was at Home Depot buying flowers while the person was there.
I mean, it just seems like such a waste of time, you know, as soon as the permit comes, to immediately shoot over here and see if we're compliant.
Be prepared for anything and everything when it comes to dealing with the city. And we had some issues with, we have a soft serve machine downstairs, and, you know, we submitted all of the drawings to the city and everything was approved. And then one day we get a guy that comes in, he's like, hey,
4 years in.
Yeah, like 3-4 years in. They're like, you know, you need a dedicated tap above the soft serve machine to clean it, right? I mean, it could have been, I'll say, thousands of dollars. It could have been $3,000 to $5,000 easily. Luckily, I've had to deal with enough problems like this myself and had to figure out maybe a more economical solution. And in this case, I was able to tap into the hand wash sink, which was nearby, and they allowed that to pass. It was pretty frustrating to have to deal with that when we've already been here.
Yeah.
When you think you've already jumped through all the hoops and then another hoop shows up. I mean, I guess the thing to take away from that is that, you know, if they say you need to do this, it doesn't hurt to try to come up with some creative other alternatives. And, you know, maybe it works.
You guys are 15 years in, so you know to look for these creative solutions. What would be your biggest piece of advice, sort of like overarchingly, for someone who is new to the food space in Chicago and is trying to make it work and stay on a budget?
Budget?
Forget the budget, but figure out how to do things yourself. Owning any business, you have to figure out how to do things yourself. You can't pay someone to come in every time that you have a problem or every time that you need a solution. You have to, you know, put your head down, get on Google, and look up how to do things yourself.
If you were to describe what it's like to do business in Chicago with one word, what would that one word be?
Be creative and resourceful on how to get around some of the things that drive you mad about being in the city. At the same time, I can tell you that, you know, we're not through the woods with this, but at our new facility, we were able to take advantage of some programs through the city over there. So I think if you are resourceful, you can find maybe a balance of the good and the bad.
Well, and in North Austin, they have organizations that are helping place people for jobs. So we're able to work with those organizations. Like, it's really great because we came from an area where the TIF is broke. And now we're moving into a place in North Austin. And they, you know, they're actively investing in business there, which is really exciting.
Well, I think that our listeners might be really interested in hearing about this North Austin place. I didn't realize you all were expanding. Could you tell me a little more about it?
So we always knew, you know, building this building that we would outgrow it. We just didn't know how fast. So we purchased another building, an existing food factory, which is like a unicorn. We bought an existing food factory, 42,000 square feet in North Austin. We've moved our production over there and we're doing some additional renovations over there so that we can move our office staff. We talked about this building in Crane's Chicago Business and people on the internet freaked out that we were leaving Chicago. North Austin is in Chicago. North Austin is located in Chicago. We are not moving to Texas.
Well, congratulations on that expansion. If you had one piece of advice for city council in terms of like how to make Chicago the most friendly place for small business, what would that piece of advice be?
It seems like a lot of the money in the city is directed towards large business and maybe less towards like directly into the hands of small business.
The only example of that that I can think of is
when we opened
here, there was a story that there was some animal testing lab that was having a real hard time.
Financially.
And Rahm Emanuel had agreed to some kind of a deal where the city partnered with this animal testing lab and gave them like millions of dollars to basically stay afloat. But like that seemed really surprising that, you know, a failing business that was
antiquated would be propped up by the city, whereas companies that are coming up that are trying to offer a solution to consumers are having to do it on their own.
Yeah, that does sound frustrating that perhaps the innovators are left to finance their own innovations, where folks who have business models that just aren't working are subsidized.
And we talked a little bit about it off mic, but as someone that has gotten where I am by continuing to funnel the majority of our profits back into the business, I'll say that there is not any great incentive to do that based on how the tax structure is set up.
You still pay taxes on that money.
Yeah.
And your taxes this year are multiple times more than what you actually take home.
So the last question I have is if there's just anything that you want to add, things you want listeners to know about Upton's or about what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago.
Believe it or not, I'm not really a great self-promoter. We've got this character, Upton on the Box, who is the man that I did not want to be. He's a much better salesman than I am.
I think the thing, you know, that we're at least offering to people and offering to business owners is, especially in a world where people think that success only comes from Shark Tank, is that you can do it yourself. Set up a sustainable growth plan, set up a sustainable, you know, business model with what you can do right now, and then just keep going from there. You know, we started in one vegan restaurant and then in initially three stores and grew everything from that, you know, now available in, I don't know, 20 or 30 countries with products all over the world. I mean, that is possible. It doesn't happen maybe as quickly. It's not as much of an instant gratification, but you can do it yourself. If you're uncomfortable, because I talk to a lot of people who are uncomfortable about taking money, but they feel like that's the only way. And that isn't the only way. You can do it yourself if you want to. And you can find out more about us at UptonsNaturals.com.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.